This is Kenneth Doust, and welcome to installment number 110 of New World Notes. Today's show features a great talk by Bill Baird, one of the great pioneers of women's rights. Specifically, women's right to control her own body, to purchase and use contraceptives, to have an abortion if she chooses. And as Bill notes, women's rights are human rights. Baird founded the Pro-Choice League, prochoiceleague.org. Two important Supreme Court decisions include his name, each involving a woman's right to privacy and reproductive health. The first, Baird v. Eisenstadt, 1972, was quoted 5 times in Roe v. Wade, and again in Lawrence v. Texas, which recognized the right of homosexual couples to privacy, too. In Baird's assessment, for his troubles, he has been snubbed, ignored, and definitely not supported by established nonprofits that should have been his supporters. Planned Parenthood, Now, Ms. Magazine, and the ACLU. Another organization on Baird's bleep list, as we shall hear, is the Roman Catholic Church. Apparently, the feeling is mutual. It's almost unbelievable how oppressive were the anti-sex laws and anti-contraception laws still in place in the 1960s. In Massachusetts, you could spend 10 years in jail for transmitting any information about birth control. For some reason, they didn't bust the Archdiocese of Boston for publishing a pamphlet on the rhythm method, but they did bust Bill Baird for displaying a contraceptive diaphragm. Baird was an executive of the Emco Pharmaceutical Company. In 1963, he saw a woman in Harlem Hospital die from an attempted coat hanger abortion. Like anti-slavery campaigner John Brown, Baird became either an indefatigable crusader for women's reproductive rights or a crazed fanatic, depending on your perspective. He established the country's first abortion clinic soon afterwards. I don't often use the word crusader as a compliment, but the word seems to fit Baird well, and I do mean it as a compliment in this case. Baird is a fine storyteller who tells his own story better than I can. Here he does so as part of a panel discussion at the University of Hartford on February 16. The panel was titled, Civil Liberties, Courageous Convictions. Bill Baird knows convictions in both senses of the term. But as I said, he tells his story better than I do, so let's hear it.
I believe at 77, I'm still carrying picket signs and still giving speeches. It began way back in 1963. I was clinical director of a drug company called Emco. And at Harlem Hospital, a big hospital in New York City, I heard a woman scream. Like anybody else, I raced into the corridor, and I saw a young black mother covered with blood from the waist down. And she was staggering, and I caught her just before she fell, and I noted she had an 8-inch piece of coat hanger sticking out of her uterus. And she died. I'm from New York, and I'm outraged, and I said, wait a second. How can somebody die, 1963, not having access to birth control or abortion? So I went to the power of people to try to get the laws changed. And this will come as a shock to some of you. Planned Parenthood was opposed to abortion. Always amazes me. The power of propaganda. I took over their headquarters in 1967, a national headquarters on Madison Avenue, to force them to change their position, which they did 2 years later. I went to Mr. Dumpson, who's head of the welfare department. All these groups, nobody would do anything. So I said, I'll do something. And I bought an old 25-foot van. Remember the parcel post trucks? Made it look like a living room. I put in fake walls and curtains and a little fake fireplace. But I did, and I drove to poor areas like Hempstead, Long Island, Harlem, New York City, all over. And I came to Hempstead, Long Island, 1965, May the 14th, and I was dragged out of the van, charged with indecent exposure. My crime was showing a diaphragm that they ruled violating law 1142. Following year, 1966, I started in the same mobile unit, teach poor women birth control. Again, dragged out of the van. This time I was convicted and put in prison for 20 days. The reason you have to know that background, 800 students from Boston University wrote me and said, Bill Baird, we have a law called Crimes Against Chastity, Morality, and Decency in Good Order. And they gave me a copy of it. And I gave you a copy, and it's important you read it. Because the law said, if you print, publish, exhibit, give any information of any means whatsoever about birth control or abortion, you face upwards of 10 years in prison. So I read the law, and I said to the students, 800 of them who signed this petition asking me to come, I said, no, I live in New York. I don't know anybody in Massachusetts. I have no money. That's going to take a great deal of money. But then I thought about the woman who died, and I said, you know, just suppose the U.S. Supreme Court would hear me. Now, as most of you know, what are my chances of being heard by the Supreme Court? 98% reject you. So think the decision I had to make. 2% chance of being heard. Those are bad odds. But then I said to myself, look, suppose I am successful, the Supreme Court does hear me, and they rule that people have a right of privacy, not only for women, and this was in the back of my head, if I could rule that birth control was unconstitutional, would women not have a right to an abortion on the same right of privacy? Then I extended it. What about gay people? Do they have a right of privacy based on the same concept of law? So I decided to challenge the law. I spoke as I'm talking to you tonight, saying that women alone must have this decision, not the husband, not the government, nobody, the woman herself. Then I decided to hold up, if I can show you, it's kind of old, kind of tattered, but this was Time magazine, the day I was arrested, April 1967. Can you see there's a picture of the birth control pill? Mm-hmm. But I pasted on it the real pill, and on the bottom I put St. Joseph's baby aspirin that looked like the pill. So I was trying to trick the police at Boston University. There were 2,000 people there, at least 15 police officers, just one of me. So I held this up. I said, will you arrest me for showing this? They smirked. They didn't do anything. So next thing I did, I held up. I love involving the church because I'm not a religionist of any sort. The rhythm method. Now, wait a second. The law said if you print, publish, or exhibit any information, any means whatsoever, every single pamphlet sold by Cardinal Cushing was up to a 10-year jail term. Now, that wasn't very popular to say to Catholic police officers, but I thought the church had to learn a lesson to stop bullying people who are not of their faith. They did nothing. Now, mind you, the goal of a social reformer is you've got to be arrested. If you can't get into the courtroom, how do you get the law declared unconstitutional? So the next thing I did, and this freaked them out, I held up this old, battered birth control board, showed a diaphragm. And when I asked the police, I said, you know what, they had not the foggiest idea what a diaphragm was. Okay. One guy said, I think it's a large condom. They had no idea. So I showed this, and then I turned the other side around, and these are actual patients I had at my clinic, that they would take douching bags and fill it with Lysol, or with bleach, with turpentine. If you read the papers 2 weeks ago, a young 19-year-old girl was arrested for hiring a 21-year-old kid to punch her repeatedly in an effort to abort her. She was charged with trying to get an illegal abortion. So all of these things I showed. The moment I showed this, the police came up, we got you. I said, hold it, because I wasn't finished with my test. I had picked up a package of MCO foam. Now, I'm clinical director. Nobody would know better about that drug than me. I gave the foam to a 19-year-old student. Why do you think 19? Remember, if you were under 21 in those days, you were a minor. So I was challenging the law for minors, for single women. And I gave her the foam. That's when they started to put the handcuffs. I said, stop, which they did. And I said to the TV cameras, notice there's a sales receipt. It said $3.09 sales tax. So I said, if you're going to arrest me, you must arrest the Attorney General for collecting an illegal sales tax. So I thought I had them all boxed in. I thought it was very clever. Unfortunately, I was the only one who thought that. But this was the scary part. I was arrested, and I thought everyone would say, gee, you're from New York. You're coming to Massachusetts to help us? What a nice guy. Risking 10 years of your life? Planned Parenthood issues a statement. Bill Baird is an embarrassment to us. This is in print. Nothing to be gained by his case. The only way to change the law is by legislation. Now I'm on tape. And what I'd love to get in a courtroom with this. James Hamilton, the ACLU, stands up. We will defend you, Bill Baird. After the court proceedings start, he calls me. He says, Bill, we had a meeting with the board of directors. We do not believe your case has any constitutional value at all. We are not taking your case. The National Organization for Women, Jackie Sabalos, the past president said, William Baird, if your name was Wilhelmina Baird, we'd back you. You're a male, we will not help you. Now, one guy from New York fighting a law in a state that was absolutely hostile. So guess what happened? I went on trial, and I used to box, by the way, and there's a term used, taking a dive. Well, I had to take a dive. I had to lose the case, because if I won, then I couldn't be heard, right? So we offered almost no resistance at all. They found me guilty. What shocked me, we applied to the U.S. Supreme Court. They said no. Douglas, do you know that name, William Douglas? Said the teaching of Bill Baird and Galileo may be of a different order. The teaching of Bill Baird and Galileo may be of a different order, but the suppression of either is equally repugnant. This is a free speech case. Justice Berger, in his private note, said Bill Baird is a quack, direct words, selling his wares on a street corner. He refused my case to be heard. I was sentenced to Charles Street Jail. I'm scarred to this day. I had to deal with threat of rape every night, beatings, rats in my cell, bugs in my food. But I was determined, no matter what they did to me, I would withstand them, and I would be heard. The Supreme Court did hear me. March 22, 1972, they said these powerful words to you. If the right of privacy means anything, it is the right of the individual to be free. Hear those words. If the right of privacy means anything, it is the right of the individual to be free, to decide whether to bear or beget a child. That's the first time in the history of this nation that unmarried people had the right of privacy to use birth control. People often get it confused with your state, which irritates me no end. A case called Griswold versus Connecticut was for married people only, period. Period. Millions upon millions of unmarried people were denied their right. What do you think happened the following year, Roe versus Wade? They quoted me five times, saying women had a right of privacy, and that was the foundation for legalizing abortion. A couple years later, ever hear of a case called Lawrence versus Texas? The rights of gay people quoted Baird versus Eisenstadt five different times. So that was a monumental historical case, and to this day, most of you don't even know that, because I cannot wage war with the Planned Parenthoods, the ACLUs, now, with all their power. Most people don't even know that Baird v. Eisenstadt is the case that established the right of privacy for unmarried people. A couple years later, teenagers came under attack, and they said teenagers could not get an abortion without parental permission. How many of you live in my age bracket, say 50, 60, 70, how many of you could go to your mom when you were a teenager? Say, Mom, I'm pregnant, would you sign here? Then go to your dad and say, Dad, would you sign here? I said, that's unrealistic. Kids aren't going to do that. They finally said, in the courtroom, they finally said, well, we can't have a law where a judge can decide if she's a mature minor. What is a mature minor? You don't have any idea what that is, right? But here's what the law said. A mature minor can get the abortion. What does an immature minor get?
Baby.
A baby. Now listen to the power logic. Listen to the power logic. Mature minor gets the abortion. Immature minor has a child. But here's the kicker. Once you have a baby, what do you become legally? An emancipated minor. Now you don't need permission to get the abortion in most states. Boggles my brain what we do. And then I'm labeled the sexual Pied Piper, the corrupter of our youth. When I ask people, help me speak before their audiences, I say, well, he's too controversial. He takes on the Catholic Church. Yeah. I have no quarrel with anyone's religion, but I will fight to the death any religion who seeks to impose their dogma by law. If Jehovah Witnesses try to say you can't have a blood transfusion, you'd be having a fit. Christian Scientists said you can't see a doctor, you wouldn't allow that. How dare the Catholic Church or any religion say, from the moment of conception, that is a person? I think you're stark raving nuts. Hear those words, stark raving nuts. If I put a dot on that wall, you're going to tell me that's equal to this young woman here. I've seen countless patients across this nation. I set up the nation's first abortion clinic, 1963. Patients who did use coat hangers and knitting needles and whose lives were in grave danger. How dare we do that to women? We had a president of the United States, Bush, who said abstinence only, violated the Constitution when he said, if you're poor, you cannot have access to birth control. My case said you could, but the power of Planned Parenthood and all these other power, multi-million dollar groups, didn't have the guts. Do you remember when the Pope came to Massachusetts, 1979? I sued him. What did I sue him for? Do you remember they were going to build an altar? They were going to build an altar at taxpayers' expense, $150,000. Why not give that money to poor women? I said, that violates the doctrine of separation of church and state. The case was called Baird versus White, Mayor White. I didn't even have to go to court. Within 24 hours, the cardinal said, Bill Baird, it's a misunderstanding. We will pay for his holiness. Please do not misread me. I have no fight with your religion. Hear that well. I will fight you to the death that I have to believe what you believe, or somebody else has to believe what you believe. That's what a democracy means. That's what freedom means. And I conclude by basically saying to you, at the age of 77, I'm still fighting, still trying to give the same passion and love for you, the people. I just don't understand why so many are silent. This were the 60s, this would be World War people. I don't understand that when somebody comes into your state, I live in Massachusetts now, and says, I'm weary, scared sometimes, but I need your hand. Help me fight the tyranny of those who would deny you your freedom. Thanks.
An amazing story, and there's more to come. The panelists next respond to one another's presentations and to questions from the audience. Here, Bill Baird talks about a bust on Long Island and the time his clinic was firebombed, and who, in fact, he's fighting for.
I never anticipated the hatred I would get. I never anticipated how society would treat a social reformer. Some of you may know I was arrested on a Morrow's charge with a baby. Haunts me to this day, costs me a wife and children. I gave a speech in Huntington, Long Island, almost 40 years ago. And I brought you purposely the headline because few people can believe a story. This was Newsday. I don't know how well you can read it. Abortion advocate jailed. An infant was in the audience. You show the side, the other side. The mother and I were thrown to the floor by police, handcuffed, put in a paddy wagon, faced a 3-year jail term because that very same board that I showed you, they said anyone under 18 would get sexual ideas. The only one under 18 was this little infant.
Oh, geez.
I thought how insane this was. All of a sudden, we're getting phone calls. My daughter was going to be put to death with a millstone around her neck, 5 years old. My son would be killed on his way to school. He was 4. So if I can only sum up, what really you have to do with your own soul is say to yourself, am I fighting for this generation, which I thought I was? I've now taken my thinking differently. I'm fighting for the next generation. Yeah. This generation doesn't give a damn. I told this young lady when I'm on college campuses, when I asked them, how many of you have written a letter or postcard? How many of you would join me in a picket line? How many of you invite me to speak at your school? Zippo. And I conclude by saying to you, pretend you were me. Try to get a loan and it finds out you're a convicted felon. You've been arrested on a Morrow's charge, jailed 8 times in 5 states. My clinic was firebombed. Guy came in to kill me. With a gallon of gasoline and a torch, 50 patients there. Burned the clinic to the ground.
An audience member asks Baird why he began his crusade for social reform in such a conservative area as Long Island. Why not start in a more liberal region?
What I believe is conservatives have sex just like liberals. You know? I really believe that. Look at some of the politicians, by the way. So I really thought if I challenged the law in my own backyard, there'd be lots of support. And that's the naive thinking of, see, social reformers have a way of wanting to see idealistically what you would wish. That, yeah, it's okay for poor people to have what you rich people do. See, rich people could fly to Puerto Rico and get the abortion. Poor people would take a piece of coat hanger, or a lot of you don't know, that would put a piece of adhesive tape around the edge of it. so it's not so sharp. And the idea was this: if they could snake it into the uterus is like your fist. Think of a pear upside down, take the stem out, that little opening, the cervical os. You put the piece of coat hanger into that opening, and the idea was to scratch it so you would induce bleeding. Well, mind you what the law was. If you could rush to a hospital and the doctor saw you bleeding, oh, to save her life, she was bleeding, I could do the DNC abortion. This poor soul didn't realize the uterus was only half an inch thick, and she pushed it a little too hard into her bowel, and she hemorrhaged to death. So I really believe that in my own backyard, I could get support. At that time, I was a Sunday school teacher, believe it or not. I believed in religion. When you do battle and you find out the people who go down your throat the most are religionists, Catholic Church holds masses for my soul. New York Times did a piece on me. It's called The Devil of Abortion, where the Catholic Church said, an editorial said, Bill Baird is the devil. Betty Friedan, in the same New York Times story, on this desk, if you want to see it, said Bill Baird is a CIA agent. He's a government spy. Robin Morgan, the editor of Ms. Magazine, that time said, Bill Baird is in this for sex. If my idea was to take you to bed with me, there's got to be an easier way than being shot at, firebombed, and jailed 8 times. But that's the rage you have to face for the belief that someday we won't put ourselves in groups. See, gays want to stay with gays. Blacks want to stay with blacks. Women want to stay with women. I say, remove those barriers. Why can't I, who's not gay, fight for gay people, which I do? I'm not black. Why can't I fight for blacks? I'm not a teenager. Why can't I fight for teenagers? I'm not a woman. Why can't I fight for women? Why can't we unite as one people fighting those who oppress us all? Is that so hard?
Is that like disheartening? Do you ever feel like you're in like a kind of like a ongoing battle that will never end?
I said from day one when I began in 63, this would outlast my lifetime. Because unless this nation matures, and they're not, and recognizes we're all sexual beings, whether we have sex or not, is our own choice. Whether you use birth control or abortion is our own choice. But we fail to recognize this battle is chiefly fueled by religion. You won't accept when I say to you, the single greatest enemy to the rights of women is another nation called the Vatican. The Pope heads that nation. If I said to you, when you go home, look up the encyclopedia, is the Vatican a government? It's the smallest government in the world, 103.4 acres. It has its own flags, its own coins. The head of that government appointed for life is the Pope. He appoints every bishop, every cardinal. You all know that. You all know they cannot be appointed as a cardinal or a bishop unless they support the political doctrine of the church, anti-divorce, anti-birth control, anti-gay, anti-abortion. You all know that. We have a law in our country called the Foreign Lobbying Act. And watch how I lose you now. If I said to you, would you join me in a lawsuit tomorrow and go into federal court and sue your local bishop and say that he is lobbying as an agent of a foreign power? The Vatican is a foreign power. Again, the law says a foreign power must register as a lobbyist, must open up his financial records, and his literature must be marked propaganda. I demand that someday we will be brave enough to say to the Roman Catholic Church, if you lobby anymore with your tax-exempt money, you lose your tax exemption and you register as a foreign lobbyist. I dare you to challenge the wisdom of what I said. Nobody does. Can't you understand when we as grown-up people have the Republican Party as part of their platform, personhood exists from conception. 1/3 of all pregnant women miscarry. Do you arrest a woman if she smokes, for instance, that can induce a miscarriage? Do you charge her with murder? Women can die from childbirth. What is the death rate for us men in a waiting room? Zippo. How dare we men be so arrogant to tell you women what to do? Concluding with this one sentence. If I had a miracle, I don't believe in miracles. You know what I wish? From the Pope to Bush, all these guys, let them all have one menstrual cramp at the same time. Just once. You watch how brave we men would become when we say, do women have the right not to be forced to go through labor pains? Because we men feel we're so darn smart, we know what's good for you.
What advice would you have for someone who is contemplating doing what you've done, is thinking about going to court to pursue a claim for rights?
Everything I do, I really plan. I may be a majority of one, but each one of these battles I thought through. Challenging the law, getting the Catholic rhythm method, so I knew if I showed that in the courtroom, that would be part of the evidence. Or holding up Time magazine that had the photograph of the birth control pill. And if you're going to jail me, then why would you not jail the head of Time magazine? But one of the more difficult things that we have to sometimes think on your feet, while Massachusetts was trying to put me in prison, the state of Wisconsin was doing the same. They had issued a warrant for my arrest, which I didn't know about until after the fact, for showing an IUD. An IUD is a little piece of plastic that was inserted in the uterus. And when I arrived at Oshkosh Airport, I was shocked to see there were two police cars with the flashing lights that were going to arrest me right from the airplane. So without much thought, I reached into my pocket, and I had a little paper clip. And on this board, I yanked off the IUD. And what I did was, I put it on my tie. If you look at this headline, this was in Wisconsin, you will see the police arrested me. The papers took a picture of the IUD on my tie. And why did I do that? The law said if you print, publish, or exhibit, so every newspaper that was attacking me before suddenly overnight came to my side because they knew I was going to subpoena them to say, here are the pictures of your showing an IUD. You broke the same law. So all the things I did were sort of like being a fox of one, trying to outwit them. In a way, it became my game. They had the power, but I had the mental gymnastics that I could try to outfox them. And more times than not, I would whip their tail. I would get them to realize, with all your power of the state and all your police power, one little guy showing an IUD outwitted your whole state. And that's how we get laws changed. So to kind of sum it up, the first thing, you got to believe in you. Then you got to plan your strategy. Hopefully others who you think would join you, like Glenn Brandon, if they don't, they're lost. You just focus on what your goal is, to get this case before the Supreme Court. And get the Supreme Court, hopefully, to hear the right point that we as Americans do have a right of privacy. And hopefully they'll agree with you. And if they don't, that you have the courage, as scary as it is, to know that you're going to be in a 4x8 cage, know that your life may very well end in that prison. A lot of brutality goes on in prison. That's a crusade in itself. What we do to people.
Birth Control Crusader, Abortion Rights Crusader, Women's Rights Crusader, Human Rights and Civil Liberties Crusader, Bill Baird, ending with the phrase that pretty much sums it up, what we do to people. And if he were a praying man, I'd be tempted to reply, Amen. As you heard, praying is about the last thing you'll catch Bill Baird doing, but you'll still find him protesting and advocating. If you plan to attend the annual Right to Life convention this June, you can shake his hand. He and his wife, Joni, plan to be on the picket line outside. The opinions expressed in this program are Bill Baird's and do not necessarily represent the views of the station's staff or management, let alone the licensee. For more, check out prochoiceleague.org. For more information on the show, see our website, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. Thanks for listening. It'll get to buy non-carborundum, and y'all come back now here. Ciao.